The National Transportation Safety Board says a fire on a state ferry in Ketchikan for repairs likely was caused by hot materials left behind by a work crew that broke for lunch. The fire in February of last year caused damage estimated as high as $750,000 to the ferry Malaspina at Alaska Ship and Dry Dock. The Coast Guard investigated the fire. It began just before noon in a sewage treatment room below a crew member's stateroom where a work crew was repairing a ventilation duct. Investigators determined that workers used a welding curtain designed to shield against sparks. The curtain was not designed to capture molten material. The curtain was placed horizontally, and investigators determined that hot material burned through it, fell to the sewage treatment room, and ignited other material. The Alaska legislature yesterday voted by the narrowest of margins to reject one of Governor Sean Parnell's appointments to the State Board of Fisheries. Vince Webster of King Salmon served two terms on the board after being appointed in 2007 by then-Governor Sarah Palin. The Kenai River Sport Fishing Association lobbied lawmakers hard to oppose a third consecutive term for Webster based on the board's controversial votes on management of Cook Inlet King Salmon. Chinook numbers in the inlet have dwindled in recent years, and Webster chaired the board's Cook Inlet King Salmon Task Force. Chugiak Republican Representative Bill Stoltz charged that Webster is biased toward commercial fishermen over sport anglers.
Any good fish manager manages for the resource, not for politics, and not to secure reappointment, and not to favor one user group or another.
Much of the criticism directed at Webster was for a March vote to lower the escapement goal for Kenai River Chinook. But as his supporters pointed out, the board voted on a unanimous vote, 7-0. Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Michicki said he was impressed by how Webster handled the King Salmon Task Force meetings last summer.
I didn't see a leaning toward commercial fisheries. And what I'm doing here is appealing to a sense of fairness to all of you. If those of us in these two bodies were replaced each time a group disagreed with a particular decision made by any of us, there'd be 60 new seats every 4 years. I mean, that's just a fact. It's a tough job.
The vote to confirm Webster failed, 29 in favor, 30 against. Lawmakers voted largely on regional lines, with Anchorage, Matsu, and Fairbanks lawmakers voting against confirmation and rural lawmakers voting in favor of Webster. The rest of Governor Sean Parnell's appointments were confirmed, most by unanimous vote or unanimous consent. That includes Labor Commissioner Diane Bloomer and Department of Transportation Commissioner Pat Kemp. An Anchorage Democrat says he walked out of the House to avoid a possible vote on Bloomer. Les Garris says he's related to her and did not want to be forced to vote on her confirmation if he objected. Lawmakers can declare a conflict or a potential conflict of interest ahead of a vote in the House or Senate. If there are any objections, they have to vote. Garris told a reporter later that Bloomer is married to one of his wife's cousins. For the record, though, he said he supported her. The Legislative Council is scheduled to consider awarding a bid for work on the state capitol. The Legislative Affairs Agency last month issued a solicitation for bids for what has been billed as the first phase of work to reinforce and renovate the building. Pam Varney, the agency's executive director, said three bids were received. She said in a memo that the lowest bid came from Alaska Commercial Contractors Incorporated for $1.7 million. She recommended that the bid be awarded. Workers last year installed a ceiling and wood support as a temporary measure after pieces fell off of the building's entrance. The next step includes structural work to reinforce the portico. The public will get a chance to testify later today on the latest oil tax reduction proposal before the legislature. Senate Bill 21 is in the House Finance Committee, the last stop before a House floor vote. Oil industry officials yesterday touted the bill as a possible game changer that could lead to increased investment on the North Slope, though none would commit to any investment. That's no different than their testimony over the last 3 years. The legislature has been considering industry tax breaks. Damian Bilbao, head of finance for BP Alaska, said the latest version of Senate Bill 21 is a signal that Alaska is ready to compete for investment. ConocoPhillips External Affairs Vice President Scott Jepson says the bill addresses many of the issues his company has with current tax law.
But until we see a final bill, until we go back and look a lot harder at all of our projects, progress it up our chain of command to our executive management in Houston, and in some instances our board of directors, I'm not going to be in a position to tell you that we're committing to individual projects today.
While most Republican lawmakers push the bill as a way to increase investment, Democrats call it a giveaway. As Senate Bill 21 is written, it could cost the state up to $6 billion through the year 2019. Tonight's public testimony is probably the last to be taken before the bill is moved from committee. The House Finance Committee will take comments starting at 5 o'clock in Juneau and by teleconference from legislative information offices around the state. Public testimony will be limited to 2 minutes per person. Five Alaska senators have organized a new coalition around an old idea. The Senate Coastal Caucus has been a feature of past legislatures, but never as a formal organization. Now, Senators Bert Stebbin, Gary Stevens, Donnie Olson, Dennis Egan, and Peter Michicki have decided to play for keeps. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has more on the story.
Sitka Republican Bert Stebbin organizes the Coastal Caucus and calls meetings, but he says that with only five members, there won't be any need for an actual chairman. Five doesn't sound like a big coalition, but Alaska has only 20 senators. All of the Coastal Caucus members are in the 15-member majority. Senator Stebbin has done his math.
When all five of us agree on something, it'll definitely make an impact.
Stebbin says the Coastal Caucus has been an informal feature of the Alaska Senate for about 10 years and consisted of himself, Gary Stevens from Kodiak, and Tom Wagoner from Kenai. The three would occasionally meet to discuss policy issues of common interest. Because of changes in the political landscape in the capital, the new Coastal Caucus is going to meet more often.
After the restructuring of the Senate, it became very evident that the interest needed to be broadened out, and coastal communities needed to have a voice in that. And the way to do that more effectively was to formalize the group a little bit more and expand it.
Senator Wagner lost his seat in the primary last year, but his successor, Pete Michicki of Soldotna, is on board. Donnie Olson from Golovin is also in, as is Juneau Senator Dennis Egan. Stedman and Gary Stevens, until last year, were two of the biggest players in the Senate as co-chair of the Finance Committee and Senate President, respectively. They governed in a coalition with 10 Senate Democrats. Now that the new Republican majority runs the Senate, Stedman is candid about the Coastal Caucus's role in balancing the influence of the rail belt. The Coastal Caucus could have gone a step further, but chose not to.
The area that we're missing, of course, is out in the Aleutian Chain and the big deltas of the Yukon and Kuskokwim, and that's Lyman Hoffman, and he sits in the minority, but I'm sure we're going to have conversations with him from time to time also.
Stedman says the main policy drivers for the Coastal Caucus will be energy, transportation, and communication. He stresses that the caucus is working toward balance, not polarity. He does not want the legislature to lose a sense of common purpose that has taken years to develop.
I've counseled my colleagues that going back to the urban-rural divide in Alaska is not a good idea. It's not in the best interest of the citizens of the state and creates a somewhat difficult working environment. And quite frankly, a lot of our citizens then get left out or pushed into the background. And there's no doubt in my mind that that's the direction that the legislative arena has taken.
Stedman says the Senate Coastal Caucus has been in the works for about a month. Its first steps will be to take a hard look at several Senate bills which have fiscal notes in the hundreds of millions, with much of that funding targeted at the rail belt. The caucus will also examine the composition of the Board of Fisheries and other policymaking bodies which may not have adequate coastal representation. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.